Philip II of Macedonia. Athens, 346 to 341 BCE, part 1. Well, obviously, while Philip's doing his thing during this time period, Athens is stewing over what's going on. I mean, the Athenians were naturally sensitive about activity around the Thracian coast, and for Demosthenes and those who thought like him, Philip's campaigns were proof of his deep hostility to Athens. The fractious approval of the Peace of Philocrates was merely the start of protracted wrangling over relations with Macedonia and its king. As early as 346 BCE, Demosthenes and an associate named Timarchus announced that they were prosecuting Aeschines for betraying his city by taking bribes and aiding Philip. Probably satisfied to have blackened his name, they did not press for the issue to come to trial. Before they managed to do this to Aeschines, he responded by indicting Timarchus on a charge of gross immorality, and it did come to court. The trial occurred in 345 BCE with accusations of prostitution, pimping, and other shameful behavior sufficient to render him unfit to address the assembly. The charges stuck, and Timarchus was stripped of his citizenship, ending his political career. In 344 BCE, Philocrates, the architect of the peace treaty, was charged with a capital offense of betraying the city. He decided to go into voluntary exile rather than risk a trial. Demosthenes finally prosecuted Aeschines, who stayed and fought it out, narrowly being acquitted by a margin of 30 votes out of 1,500. Bribery was a common enough slur in Athenian politics, and for Demosthenes, something of an obsession. Anyone who disagreed with him regarding Philip must have been bribed. The message was simple, that Athens was no longer great because she had been betrayed by her leaders. True patriotism in citizens and leaders alike, stern resolve, and sound allies would change all this, would defeat Philip and restore Athens to her rightful prominence. A simple idea repeated often enough can be very powerful, most of all when it's what the audience dearly wants to believe, and it can be even stronger when there's a kernel of truth, however small. The interests of Philip and of Athens were sometimes in conflict, and these confrontations had gone his way. Realists accepted this as seen that the king was too strong to fight, or at least in the immediate future, and returning to war and escalating its scale was bound to go badly. The orator dismissed such voices as those of the corrupt and came back to his message again and again and again. Demosthenes' influence grew in these years, although once again we should remember that he was not alone, and some of his prominence is due to the survival and the veneration of his speeches. He insisted that Philip was Athens' inveterate enemy. All his activity and all of his organization is preparing the way for an attack on our city, he would say. How could anyone believe that Philip really coveted Donglius, Cabria, Mestria, obscure Thracian strongholds captured in these years, and does not covet the Athenian harbor and dockyards and war galleys and silver mines and sources of wealth? If he was willing to toil through harsh winter to win meager spoils in Thrace, other Athenians were nervous about some of the king's activities. His capture of the cities near the Abraxian Gulf prompted the Athenians to send an expedition to support communities in Acarnania on its southern shore. Philip withdrew without advancing against Athens' allies, whether because he was deterred or he'd never planned to attack there in the first place. Euboea, a large island close to the eastern coast of Greece and a former ally of Athens, had forcefully won her independence, was another sensitive area. So the appearance there of Macedonian paid mercenaries gave Demosthenes more fuel to attack Philip. They came to support local leaders in factional struggles within the city, and they were successful and eventually meant that new regimes were well disposed to Philip. Mercenaries supplied by the king also appeared in the Peloponnesus, although their presence attracted less concern at Athens. A little earlier, Philip had not answered the appeal of one ambitious Euboean who declared his intention of forming a tight league in the area. Philip's support was not automatic and had more to do with estimates of local support for our leader. The man later appealed to Athens, and the Athenians intervened in Euboea several times, clashing with leaders backed by Philip. Yet these years are more striking for how rarely Philip chose to intervene in southern Greece, especially with troops. and how rarely appears to have initiated rather than responded to appeals. Euboea was deeply divided, and assistance given to some leaders by Macedonia and Athens simply added fuel to an already raging blaze. The choice of mercenaries was actually over actual Macedonians was perhaps tactful, but may simply have been a question of availability, for he did send Parmenio and other senior officers. Sending hired troops to join in foreign wars was common enough in these years. Athens turned down an appeal from the Persian king for hoplites to serve in the reconquest of Egypt, although Thebes agreed. Spartan king and the army went to fight in Italy. Phylacus of Phocis and his army went to Italy and then Crete for employment, while tens of thousands of individuals and smaller groups were also in Persian pay. And Athens itself was fond of sending its generals with large mercenary forces, as the careers of Hippocrates and Charnes demonstrated. There was always the expectation that these operations would fund themselves, and the lack of reliable support from Athens often meant that such commanders had little choice except to plunder and raid, making alliances or war with locals simply so that they could pay their men. But sometime around 343 BCE, a man named Diophantes was sent to Gallipoli with a force that proved especially ruthless. He is known to be close to Hegesippus, one of the most influential, if less eloquent, voices, repeating the same arguments as Demosthenes. So the next time we'll pick up here and see what other complaining that Demosthenes is going to have about Philip in the Athenian assembly. Now the sources for this, the Politics by Aristotle, the Histories by Herodotus, Histories, 12 volumes, by Diodorus Siculus, Peloponnesian War by Thucydides, and the Lives by Plutarch, Philip and Alexander, Kings and Conquerors by Goldsworthy, History of Macedonia, Volume 1 and Volume 2 by Hammond, In the Shadow of Olympus, The Emergence of Macedonia by Borgia. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.